In the book of Judges, we're looking at our teaching. We went over the last time we talked about the first person that really is anything extensive about the individual as a judge was Deborah. And we're going to start the sixth chapter. We're going to start to look at Gideon. We're going to be on him for a little while because people generally know things. There's certain things about the story that's told, but there's pretty much said about Gideon. There's many things if you go over and read about Gideon. You're gonna find out that there's more said here than people realize. It's been said about Gideon. One of the things that I want you to see about in the Word. One of the things that years ago that Kenneth Hagin made this statement. I've also heard others talk about the fact. If you follow through in the scriptures, you see that things that really God initiates himself. He doesn't do it because anybody's in faith or anybody really responds to him. God initiates things sometimes. He does things in spite of. One of the things we have, if you study scripture, especially in end times and dealing with the nation of Israel during the tribulation, Jesus Christ's return and really saving the nation of Israel. He comes and that's what he really does because the Antichrist is out to destroy them. And one thing that the scripture tells us is the fact that he isn't doing that for them. He said he's doing it for his own name's sake. Israel, in a sense, many times God delivers people. It's just like our salvation was not initiated by mankind. It was initiated and carried out by God. Man had done nothing good to get saved. So we didn't have anything in the game. There wasn't that God looked down here and he found some kind of virtue in man that he said, I'm going to save man. God completely initiated the salvation of man totally on him. And nobody responded in faith. Nobody said, God save me. God did that himself. And so you need to see something. It's one of the things is dealing with the compassion, mercy of God. As we look at Gideon, you're going to find this out. That God really dealing a lot here with Gideon and Israel in this instance was God's initiation. Because we're going to find out that there's a principle that many times people do, and we'll see this, and we'll see the things even today. These same principles we're going to find out is one of the things that we have today. The children of Israel cried out to God at times, but we're going to see specifically here with Gideon, they cried out to God for help. But actually did nothing to deserve God to come. They never acted in faith. They didn't do a thing. All they're doing is in trouble, and they're yelling for God. And God shows up completely from a standpoint. He initiates this thing and sets this thing in motion. Because we're going to find out. Here's the thing that you need to understand. Many times people are asking God for help. They're in trouble. But they're not willing to change. They just want God to deliver them. They're not willing. They don't do nothing themselves, you know. They're God, we're in this bad situation, help us out. It is amazing how many times God helps people, and they don't realize. They think that their prayers and their things, they did something of faith when they never did nothing of faith, that God just had mercy. Amen. And many times, you know, and people, this one thing is I learned about salvation, you know, people say, you know, well, when I finally, you know, I found the Lord, you never found the Lord. Nobody comes to the Son except the Father draws him. It's God initiates. And you get in the fact, if I didn't save me, and people say, well, I was saved by faith. Well, I wouldn't have gotten even the faith. The faith I have, I got from God. Faith comes by hearing the Word. If he didn't give me revelation of the Word, I'd have never been able to get faith. So God really initiates and carries out these things. Now, we can still have faith toward God, but we always need to give God the credit. And sometimes I think from the faith message teaching sometimes leads people over where they're more interested in their faith than God. You got to give God the credit, man. He's the Savior, Deliverer. I mean, our faith don't amount to nothing without Him. No matter what I believe, if He don't carry it out, okay, what's going to do? What I need done, He has to do it. Or if I could do it, I'd have done it. Hallelujah. So, but we want to look at this thing. We're going to start in Judges in chapter 6. We had before there were Deborah, the woman who was a a prophetess. She was a judge of Israel. Well, after she died, it says then, it starts off this. It says, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years. It says, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens and caves and strongholds which are in the mountains. Now, I want you to understand this about this thing, because I really found this interesting. Here only a few years ago, archaeologists found some of these caves that they were living in. These things were enormous. Some of them could hold thousands of people. Could live inside. They said they could actually house thousands of people and animals and stuff and things. That they did. They went into hiding and they found some of these caves. So we need to understand and get the picture of what's going on here. People don't, you know, lots of times these people are dealing with this stuff and they read through it, not really thinking about what things are actually said. And there's some things about, we're going to find out about Gideon is really quite interesting about him. Because of the condition of things that was going on. As we go on here to read, it says, so it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also the Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming as in numerous as locusts. Did you ever see locusts in the area, what it's like? And he said, look, I mean, this isn't a few people come up. This isn't, you know, a couple thousand people. This is enormous amounts of people would come up into the land of Israel. So he said they wouldn't leave any substance. Neither she not. And said they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So it says this, and so Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. It says, didn't say they were impoverished. They're greatly impoverished. If you look up in the Hebrew there, I mean, this is a severe extent. This is a very severe extent. We're talking about this is poverty. Now think about this. If you're trying to grow crops and stuff, you have to hide them, you know, so you can't grow much. If you try to do stuff, you're trying to find places that if you can grow anything, you have the population of the land and you can't come up. These armies come up and they come in, they bring all their stuff in and they take anything from the land, et cetera. They take it. And so it says they're greatly impoverished. Now understand that when we talk about what goes on with Gideon here, we got to get an idea and think about what this thing's really talking about going on. One of the things I want us to understand is, because we're going to go into the thing here, Israel ended up in this condition. But one thing we're going to find out, because Gideon makes a statement, which we'll find out later. Gideon made the statement and asked, you know, all these miracles and stuff God did. How come we're in the situation we're in? How come it's like, what's going on? Why did this happen to us? Well, it's interesting because we want to look back. I talked about some of these things before, but it'd be good to look at Scripture. If we go to the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy, the end of the book comes up to the time of Moses' death, and it's his last things that he does while he's there. And one of the things he does, God has him speak to the future of Israel, what's going to happen. And so God tells them, they understand about the future that's coming. And one of the things he talks about starts in the 29th chapter, I think it is, and that stuff, he talks to him about this. In, I think it's Deuteronomy, let me make sure I have this right. So, let's get 31 in verse 9. This is where Moses had told the children of Israel, had started to tell them what was going to happen to them after he died and their future, what was going to go wrong. He told them that they were going to stray away from God. He told them specifically they were going to stray away from God and what was going to happen, how things were going to turn out. So In verse 9 said, so Moses wrote this law. One of the things is he took the law specifically. He sat down and wrote it. It says he took the law and delivered it to the priests and the sons of Levi who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord into all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them saying, at the end of every 7 years at the appointed time in the year of release. That would be this, every 7 years was the year of Jubilee, and this was released. What they had is every 7 years, if somebody what people would do is if they got in financial trouble or something like that, they would put themselves as a servant to somebody and for a period of time. And that person, they would work for them and do whatever. But a servant and that stuff had to be released after 7 years and all debt paid. So their system, even a monetary system, operated that way. You never made a loan past a 7 year period. Nobody, be paid off, because when the 7 year period ended, if somebody owed you money, they were free of it. So it actually was a pretty wise system, because you don't ever have huge debt. A nation never gets into huge debt. You don't want to practice here in America. They wouldn't know what to do. The politician wouldn't know what to do without big debt, But anyway, that's really the way that they operate. So here he's talking about, so when this period or this 7 year period comes, the release time comes, they're supposed to do something now. He said, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord and God in the, Lord your God, in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, and that they may hear, and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that the children of Israel who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So Israel was required, which we're going to find out, this is the things that they quit doing. They didn't do this anymore. They didn't do this. When they started following other gods, God's telling them what to do. Moses had told them all the judgments that were going to follow on them because they were going to stray away. And then God tells them here, you can, there isn't avoiding of this, but God knows this. They ain't going to pay no attention. They're not going to pay any attention. But God tells them, this is how you stay out of this problem. This is how you don't get over into all this. And so Moses then turned around and did this, what he did. And this is a thing that we can learn about, concerning the Word of God. We go down to 31:24, and it says, so it was when Moses had completed writing the words of this law in a book, when they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you. That's what he said to do. This is a witness. So there's the book. They have the book. Now, there's really a principle here. They take the ark. He said, he didn't say put the book in the ark. He said, put the book beside the ark. In other words, the word of God is on the same level as the power of God. See, people today have great interest in the power of God without interest in the word. In fact, what people look for is in the ark, I hear this all the time, is people who are searching for the Ark of the Covenant. They're trying to find the ark. And these people are looking for this thing for the ark, and they talk about, this, it's this box and the power that's in the box. Well, actually, there never was power in the box. God dwelt between the cherubims and the top. The power of God was in the top of the box. What was on the top represented the power of God. And it wasn't in what was in the box. See, people don't read the Bible. They don't have a clue. And but God sets the word of the law was set beside it. So we need to understand this. One of the things that I learned from Kenneth Hagin, he would talk about things about stuff. He said, he would always say this, you put the word first. The word is always first, not the spirit. The word is always first. You wouldn't know the spirit without the word. You don't even know it. How would you know what the Spirit's saying when you don't have nothing to verify it against? See, the Bible was just like the law. They had the law. The law was to verify. See, they would have always known who a false prophet was. Today, people don't know who false prophets are because the word people don't know the word. They're full of traditions. They're full of their ideas of what they think are. They're not paying attention. It's just like with them. The word is what's going to keep you out of trouble. This knowing the law, you can judge what's happening and going on by the word. So in the law, it has already been written because the things that Moses wrote down, Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And this stuff that we're gonna, that he talked about what's gonna happen to them was in the law. If they would have read that every year, these people would have all knew their, what was gonna happen in the future when they didn't follow God. So none of them could ever stand before God and say, well, we didn't know. Say, you didn't read it. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen. The same thing to people today, even in the church, are going to stand before Jesus. Christians will be judged before Christ, and they're going to be judged about the word. They're going to be judged about it. People are going to say, well, I didn't know. He says, sorry, you had the book, and this is what the book said. You didn't read the book. See, this is why we read the book. Because that judges thing. Do you know the New Testament speaks of the things that were going to happen in the future? Paul wrote the way people were going to be in the future. He talked about religious people were going to have a form of godliness but deny the power. All those things are written in there. We have much of the church world today as a denier of the power of God. They don't believe it happens anymore. See, we've got a lot of religion going on, but see, these things were told. In other words, there's things in the future that are told. And today, we have prophets prophesying differently than what the Word says the future was coming. The church is warned. I mean, we have the seven churches in the book of Revelation about those churches. And there's some pretty, you know, hard things that are said about those churches. But people ignore, they don't pay attention to it. So we have, you know, we have today as the positive message. Always say something nice can make everybody feel good. Well, I'm sorry, you know. Can you imagine Moses? Moses' last speech to the people was about how they're going to be judged because they're going to turn away from God. This is his last words, leaving. Poor Moses. He didn't go to the faith place sermon where you always say something positive. Poor guy never went there. He should have heard that message. I just he told these people this stuff. So, it goes on here to say, he says, for I know, listen to this, here's this wonderful man, listen, verse 27, for I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. If today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord, then how much more after my death? Like, oh my God, how did he know I did that? You know, there's the whole thing. This is one of the things, this is why people don't, you know, here's what brings a changed life. There's one thing about it. It's like I've heard a number of different ministers talk about it, say this in different ways, but it comes down to the fact that somebody said something about the individual and they were mad. This person said this about me and I was hurt. And the minister said, I asked him, well, was it true? See, you know, most time people get hurt because what was said was true. That's why they're so hurt. Mm-hmm. It's true. Instead of saying, well, you know, that was true, I need to change that. Did you ever, you know? There's one thing about it. If you can't see and you don't like hearing about your weaknesses, you'll never change. You will never change. And see, this is what happened to the children of Israel. They wouldn't change. See, change comes. It's one thing to ask God for help, but you're doing things that cause your problem. It's God help. It's amazing how kind God delivers people, but I just want to say this. And this is the truth. If you don't change what you do, you're going to be back in the same trouble again, just like Israel was. You're going to be back the same. It's coming on you again. It'll be there. He may deliver you, but it'll come. You'll need delivered again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like, you know, they do this thing, you know, with the church. I've had people call and they'll ask, you know, I need help paying my rent, blah, 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 blah. And you go to them about, well, they're making money. Where should you have a job? No. And I said, well, what about next month? See, if you don't get a job and do something, what happens next month? The same thing comes back. So if you get delivered, is it going to change? No. It's not going to change. See, the church has lost this. We don't have this wisdom anymore in the church. The church is, no, we just keep fixing people. Fix, fix. Well, there's no reason for anybody to change. No reason. Hey, it's nice to have some mercy on people, but you just can't keep doing that. Amen. You just can't keep doing it. You gotta let people come to a place where, hey, they're gonna have to do something. Oh my. So, he talks about it. He said, gather to me all the elders of your tribes and your office, he said, your officers, that I may speak these words in their hearing and call heaven and earth to witness against them. Now, get all the leaders down here. I'm going to tell them. He said, for I know that after my death, you will become utterly corrupt and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Now this is the end, and we're not going to read through the song. You need to go over and read about the song. Now this is really interesting. This wasn't top 40 that people were going to listen and dance to. This song was not a good worship song to God. He said, I'm going to teach you a song and what this song was. Go over and read it in chapter 32. This song is about the judgment that's going to fall on them because they turn from God. And it's a song. And you know, here's the whole thing. They were commanded to teach this song. Well, they didn't do it. See, so we come down to Gideon's day. You got this mess going on. It's because they have turned away. They're no longer following God. They're no longer listening to the word anymore. They're no longer doing that. The things they were commanded to do, they are not doing. We need to understand that principle still exists today and is in the church world today. The church has left the word. Much of the church world has left the word. They're into all kinds of things of sin are all right now. They're doing all these things. They've left the word. They're no longer teaching the truth anymore. They've left the word of God. And you know what? You can't fix things. They can't fix. People are calling on God to help and all that stuff. And they're saying, God bless America. Well, just asking God to bless America ain't going to bless America if we keep doing evil. Amen. Say, God, help us change. We need to start calling on God what we really need. See, there needs to be change done. There needs to be things changed. We're going to find out. As we go into this, there's a lot of principles here that really give us a close idea. One of the things that Moses wrote about why they want to fall and what was going to happen. And we need, this is happening to America today. See, these principles never changed because Israel went through these things and went through them. You know, Israel's greatest time of prosperity ended with the dividing of the nation. See, the Bible says this, and the Bible says this, New Testament. The love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. What's the root? A root of anything is really its source of what. So evil's source is loving money and stuff. Wow. Now, whether people want to hear it or not, we've sure done it in America. You folks have heard me say this. I am not against prosperity, and neither is God. God likes prosper people. But if your spiritual development doesn't go ahead further than the money that comes into you, you will follow the money. And then we know this. America, even the church, is very unspiritual because they just follow the money. People's money and wealth and stuff mean more to us today. It brings comfort. God wrote to it, when God spoke through Moses, if you go back and read all that Moses said about this, was the fact, basically what he told Israel, when you guys get into the land and you start doing good, start prospering, he said things like, and you start getting fat, and what he meant, he didn't mean like fat is like me. What he meant was they were going to turn around and start to prosper, doing well, and they have a lot of stuff. He said, then you're going to turn from me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Wealth is a big fight. Money is a real problem. Prosperity is a real problem without spirituality. A really, really big problem. This is one of the things that I was very cautious, and you know, even in our church. I mean, I don't talk about money a whole bunch. Because we got 50 million people talking too much about it. All the time. You know, we have the things of, you know, the conservatives are bad. They think, you know, the making money is all in America. We got to keep America strong, keep us in money. Well, I tell you, it's led us to tons of sin. The more money you have, the more you have available to you to follow your flesh. Mm-hmm. So you better learn how to get spiritual, or you will give your flesh everything it wants. And man, I don't know about your flesh. I got to slap mine down. Amen. That's why I've learned this over the years. I've learned, if God asks me to give money, I'll give money. I'll just do it, you know.
Amen.
God just asked Wanda and I to give a large sum away, you know. And you sit down, you look in the natural and say, man, we just put this in there. But he said, and I thought, I can't let this thing stand. I can't let this. And you know what? So I made a decision in about 10 minutes. Don't give yourself any time to think. When you get to yourself time to think of it, you'll close your checkbook and go home. That's what you'll do. I said, you know what? I knew it was God. I knew it was God talking to me. I knew it was in my heart. You know how I learned to judge that? In my natural mind, would I really want to do this? No. My natural mind would say, no, you know, you could give a little bit. You'd be nice like everybody else. And that's one thing I really appreciate Wanda. Wanda said, I told her what, you know, I felt that the Lord was saying to do. And she, yeah, okay.
Amen.
You don't have that all the time. You don't have that. But see, it's one of the things, I've learned this, because I have watched over the years, I have watched as people gain wealth, what happens to them. Mm-hmm. I've watched good Christians as they get their comfortable life after they get, you know, God changed Wanda and I's life so much and it blessed us so much. That it's very easy. You can follow the blessing. It's very easy because, you know, it's the blessing. And say, no, it's Jesus we're following, not the blessing.
Amen.
I'm a servant of Christ. I'm not a servant of the blessing.
That's right.
I'm a servant of Christ. And so I started to think, you know, we started to do that. And that's, you know, when I asked the Lord back in 2014, why do you ask me to give stuff all the time? You know, he said, because if I asked you, you'll do it.
Amen.
See, I learned to do this, not think much about it. I don't spend, you know, go spend, you know, 27 hours in prayer and fasting trying to see if, is God really talking to me? you know, to me, it is a great joy in it too. See, mm-hmm. I'm so glad I do.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm at a place in my life where that's not dominating me. A lot of ministries and stuff, they maybe do a lot of good things and a lot of good stuff, but they're driven. They're driven. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be at that place. You know, you don't want to get there to that spot. And you have to, in your life, decide, where do I want to go? See if I get to that place. People don't see, you know, it's strange here. In America, how people can't see, in the church world, leaders in the church world cannot see the condition of the church. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're doing good. This is just because we have certain beliefs and we have things. What are we really following? What is it? Are we really doing? You know, if you sit down and look at, say, from most TV ministries, a lot of them are watched and given to by the same people that watch them. You wouldn't believe how little following that these ministries have. On TV, 15 different channels on 4 times a day, they don't even have 1 million viewers. On all of them put together. They just put a thing out here not long ago about America and givers in the church world. Less people are giving. The people that give more. They said the more money is out. They said there's more money to be given, but by fewer people. And I said that don't surprise me at all. There's some people who grew about giving, and ones that ain't. A lot of them are taught that. You know, you go into most churches and that stuff, and I've watched this with it. Well, they say, well, some people they just, well, you know, you can't expect the poor to give. Well, I do expect the poor to give if they want to be blessed. You got to learn to give in some way or the other. You got to learn to be something other than being taken care of.
Amen.
You know, we like this tax thing they're doing there in the church. They're doing taxes free for people up to $60,000 a year.
Wow.
I thought, what on earth? See, we're out here helping people today because like people are having a hard in their life. No, it's their stupid between their ears. This is what's going on. You remove God off the scene, and we've removed the Word of God, and men just follow the lusts of their flesh. And we don't want to be doing that. So if you get time, you want to go over there. I think it's chapter 32. You go. The song is from the first verse down to the 44th verse or something like that, and 33 in Deuteronomy. And it'll be a song you'll want to sing a lot. We should have taught a few of those songs in the United States. But the whole thing of it is, God wanted them to know about the future, what would happen. If they don't know, they're not going to try to turn it. See, he gave them the opportunity to find out, say, hey, look, we ain't going to let this happen. He's telling them this is what's coming. We have in the Word today of what's happening, what's coming on, but people are not listening to it. So, you know, because people are saying, oh no, we're going to give you a positive message, tell you you're okay when you're not. This is what things we're going to do. Now we're going to go back to Judges. I wanted to lay that in there because this is really important that we understand. The God's even, like, we'll take the children of Israel. He didn't hide from them about what was going on. He's telling them what's going to happen in their futures. The Holy Spirit was put in you to want to show you things to come. How can we end up in the mess of America today like we have, and the majority of big-name ministers never knew it was going to take place and are startled at what's happening today? When God spoke to me about these things, even back into the 1980s as a young Christian, and you'd say anything about it, Christians would ridicule you. See, God's been taught. God talks. God shows us what's ahead. God will show you things that aren't pleasant to see. But it's why. So you can avoid things. But people would rather hear everything's going to be all right. And then all of a sudden, it's just like we're sitting here today. It doesn't surprise me, the condition of things today. It doesn't surprise me at all. Paul said how people were going to be in the last days. Why would we be surprised that we're seeing what we're seeing? Why would we be shocked in America? Because you know why? America was about God. America was God to many Christians. God can't make it in the earth without America. There's always been groups like that. And it's destined to failure. It always is. Now, in Judges, the sixth chapter, we're going to go back over to that. Because, see, we can see, always look at things. There's always things for us to learn from these situations and these things that happen. There's stuff for us to learn. In Judges, the sixth chapter, it goes back. Verse 7 we're going to pick up from. It said, it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel. What did he do? The first thing he did, he sent word. First thing. The first thing he did, see, the prophet was the preacher, the spokesman of God for the day. Really, he speaks, the prophet at that time spoke more on God's heart, what God was saying right at the time of what was going on. So what did God send to them? He sent a prophet. Now, this is what the prophet, here's what the prophet said, it told Israel. Who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. So, they're saying, God help. And God sends a guy and says, you ain't listening to me. See, and we're going to find out. They haven't changed. They're calling for God to help doing the same things they have been doing. The prophet comes, and actually they ignored the prophet. They ignored him. We're going to find out they did. We're going to find out they ignored the prophet. The prophet came and talked and said, hey, you guys haven't obeyed the voice of the Lord. That there book of the voice of the Lord was right beside the Ark of the Covenant. They were supposed to be read to them. Every 7 years they would read it to them. But see, they were no longer worshiping God. They were no longer doing that. They weren't doing that anymore. They're worshiping Baal. In actuality, that word is not Baal, it's actually Baal. It's pronounced in the Hebrews, it's Baal. Is the God. And we could say they bowed to Baal. Is what they did. But now in verse 11 says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under a terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah. He said, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon thrashed wheat in the winepress, in order to hide it from the Midianites. So he had some wheat, and he's in. Now look at the condition, and here's the condition that they're in. He's in a winepress, trying to thrash out wheat in a wine press because to hide anything that they can from the Midianites. So there's not good conditions here. This is where they're hiding out. So he isn't at a normal place or home he would have been regularly doing something. You're trying to hide out from the Midianites. See, the Israelites moved into the mountain areas and that stuff. They're trying to hide from these people. So he's out there and he's thrashing some wheat, trying to hide it, so you know he didn't have any kind of big harvest going on here. That he's in a wine press thrashing out. So it goes on here to say, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. That's an interesting thing. So he's done with God. So God's going to do something with this guy. That was the first thing. Now, here's one of the things we need to understand. The word spoken. Again, see, what comes first? The word. The angel spoke, and the angel said to him and called him a mighty man of valor. That's what he called him. So you need to understand the power of words and what is said. See, people are many times, I mean, you think about in Christianity today, one of the things that I remember years ago, is Kenneth Hagin said, he said, we have all these people got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and he said they've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking other tongues, and he said they keep praying and asking God for power. Well, see, their words to God are messed up. Their words are not words of faith. They're trying to, what do I need anymore in the Holy Ghost that I have? I mean, does he have a brother or something I got to get, or cousin? I don't know. See, Christians are asking, they're not walking in the light of who they are. This angel, the angel of the Lord, calls him a mighty man of valor. He said, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? In other words, this is the Lord. This angel is speaking what God said. In other words, God's telling him, haven't I sent you? In other words, God's talking like he's already done this thing. I've sent you. Now, he didn't pick this guy because this guy's Mr. Spirituality. This is God initiating something. God's initiating. Now, we can see some things about him as we go on here into this. So, it goes on to say this. He says, then Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all of this happened to us? Guess they weren't listening to the prophet. They weren't paying attention. Why did all this happen? Say, well, there was a book, and there was a song you guys were supposed to be singing, and there was a thing you'd have known. Why did this happen to us? Have you ever had Christians do that? I don't understand why this happened to me. I don't. Oh, yeah, this. And then, you know, why could anything ever happen to me? You know, I'm so perfect and I'm so wonderful. And I said, who would ever think anything would ever happen to me? I always like the things that when the little book that Brother Hagin put out is called Don't Blame God. When I got that there, that changed my life. It's like, what are you asking God why did this happen? Wouldn't you ask yourself first, say, hey, did I do something to cause this to happen? Mm-hmm. No way. God's in control. 99% of Christians believe that. You can tell it by what they act and what they do. The first thing people do is question God.
Yep, that's right.
They don't say. See, I've learned the things. I've learned these things over the years. It's like, you know, when I got that blood clot in my lung, it's one of the things that I wanted to know. I was interested. You know, people say, well, you just make confessions of faith. First thing I wanted to do is find, did I miss it anywhere? That's what I wanted to know. Did I miss it? Did I do something? I want to know. Because if I did, I want to repent of that. I want to deal with that. That's one of the things that I needed to know. And you know what? Until you know, you can go pushing your faith button all you want. You got to know, is everything clear between you and God? People want healing. They just jump right on the button of thing. Never stop. Check themselves. Say, have I done something? Don't do this thing. Checking yourselves. What about me? Have I done anything? Is there anything I need to change? Lord, I want to know. Lord, I know you're a healer. But what good is it go if I'm doing things that's causing this problem at the same time wanting to get out of it? So Mond and I were sitting in the room in the emergency room. And I said to her, I said, I need to hear from God. I said, I got to get myself over. Because I had been in a lot of pain and I thought, but I need to hear from God. That's what I need to hear. My first thing is I need medical treatment. The first thing I need to know is I need to hear God. Because I knew this. If I can set my faith on Him, I can get what I want. If I can get my faith set. So I need to know. I want to know. And so, I don't know how long. It didn't take very long, really, when we were in there. And I'd ask the Lord, Lord, if I missed anywhere, I want you to tell me. I'll change, do whatever it is you want me to do. And just as clear, it rose up inside of me, don't be concerned or worry, you're going to be fine. And when that happened, within 20 minutes, I'll tell you what, I just started feeling fine. Because, see, I could set myself. See, many people are pushing, trying to get over in the areas of faith. And they're just like, we're just going to push with God. It's like their faith don't count on God. Your faith counts on God. You need to get that through your head. Your confession and all that stuff is a good thing to have, but who's it in? See, my faith don't deliver me. God does. I can have faith in God, but He's the deliverer. See, you know, whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. He said, and you'll have it. Well, where do you get the having from? It ain't from you. It's from Him. It's no kind of weakness to be totally relying on God. That's strength. That's where strength comes from. It's saying, God, hey, I've told the Lord many times, if you don't step in on this, it ain't getting fixed. Don't know what to do. We need you in this thing. Say, Lord, I'm in a place of faith where I am, but I'm counting on you to do it. I'm counting what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. See, our faith sometimes just ain't as big as we think it is. Thank God for grace. Hallelujah. And a little bit of mercy don't hurt either. Charlie, I'm convinced that's why a lot of people have trouble in the areas of their faith. Because they're receiving from God is all about them. It's not about the one who can bring it past. He's the only one who can bring it to pass what I'm believing for. He's the only one who can do it. I can't. He's not forced to do something for me. See, this is about a relationship. Mm-hmm. And most times, people got their faith is more like the law, you know. I'm doing this, you got to do this for me. You got to do this. No. He already said, by His stripes I was healed. He already did it. See, it's one thing is, I know it's done. What I got to find out is how I have to hook to this thing. I want to know. I want to know if I've missed it and I'm not connected to what was given to me. It's over here on my problem on this side. It's never His. See, I need Him. I need Him desperately. So you want to always stay in that place. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, it's amazing what He'll do for you when you're trusting in Him. Because I'll just tell you, you can't always trust you. You're human. You've got weaknesses. Hey, we have weaknesses. If you ever go along and start off in faith and you're really doing great and the next thing you know you're on the floor and you try to get up and let's start this all over again. And sure, we did it. God don't ever stumble or fall. You know? Thank God. Hallelujah. And He's able to make a stand. But He's the one that's able. And we can count on Him. This is a great thing of why we trust in Him. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. He's so good. We got to keep him in the forefront. Hallelujah. It works wonderful. Well, he went on to say, and where are all the miracles which the fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Why did this bad happen to us? We're serving Baal. See, they're asking God for help while they serve Baal. They're calling on the Lord. You know, it's like people today, you know, it's funny. Sometimes going to other countries, I found this out, they'll have their religions. Like you get in among religions that have multi-gods. You go preach Jesus to them, you got to be distinct on preaching Jesus. Because what they'll do is they'll just accept Jesus as another one of their gods. And they'll still worship their other stuff, and they'll just, Jesus is just another guy to set something on a shelf that you can go to and, you know. So you need to preach and let them understand, you know, there's only one God. And this is one of the things that people just add to. See, they're over here calling on Jehovah while they're still worshiping Baal. Amazing. See, we're going to find out it's true as we go along here and look. We're going to find out it's exactly it's true. This is what they're doing. God sent a prophet, and I'm sorry he didn't give us a positive message. You see, Baal was a god of prosperity. That's what he was. He was a god of prosperity. He was a god of and their prosperity was as their crops and all this kind of stuff. He was the god of all that. He's God going to make you an easy life. He's the guy. You don't want to get rid of him, you know. Yeah, that's why we're doing this, see. Some of that going on today. There's some Baal worship. Oh my. Sure do get meddling, don't. That says, verse 14. Said, then the Lord turned to him and said, go in the might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? He said, so he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Isn't it interesting? I mean, he didn't really just preach him a sermon. He just kept telling him who he is. And, I'm gonna do this for you. Come on. He just keeps talking to him. Now, understand, this guy here, because he doesn't, we need to, we're going to find out, he really doesn't understand who he's talking to. To him, this is just another guy sitting here. And then he goes on and it says, and then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talks with me. See, he wasn't sure when this guy was saying the Lord stuff. You got to give me a sign. Now, we'll talk about this, Thumb. We won't have time tonight, but we're going to talk about signs and wonders in this and their usage today and their purpose. It's a shame because many Christians are trying to get God to do signs to prove he's true to them. See, this is one of the things. Remember Jesus said to the Jews, you're always looking for a sign. Jesus is walking around healing miracle after miracle after miracle. And the Pharisees show up and the scribes and they said, give us a sign. I'm just going to tell you this. People looking for signs, you can never give them enough. They'll always want another one. You can open the Red Sea and they'll be asking, well, yeah, that was good, but give us a sign. We need to. Now, here he is, but you understand the conditions he's in. This guy's untaught. He's completely untaught. God's very tolerant to him. See, He picked this guy out, and the guy, he comes up and says, I'm the least, and it just seems the way that God does. Many times, God will pick the least. He don't ever pick the most popular. See, I watched ministries fail going to the most popular. That was one of the things that destroyed Full Gospel Businessmen. They started finding, you know, the Lord said, starting Full Gospel, he told Demas to Shakarian to get ordinary businessmen and stuff to give their testimony of what God's done in their life. And they started this, bringing all these, you know, somebody from Hollywood, got it, or a sports figure, got saved. Oh, you bring this person in, it's going to really. That's what people really want. God wasn't anointed. I told them when I was a president of the chapter, I said, you can't keep doing this stuff. I said, it's going to go under. I said, it's not the vision. I said, the vision is ordinary people telling what God did for them. You know why? Because this is what people do. They'll sit there and watch the guy who's the big popular guy. It's just like, he's big popular. Yeah, God do that for him. And he got all this money and he got all this stuff. And this guy, yeah, but you don't know me down here. I don't have anything. Mm-hmm. But see, when somebody gets something and says, look, I didn't have anything. Look what God did for me. I wasn't a real good football player. I wasn't good at anything. You know? See, this, you got to start getting to people up here. You know, I was messed up. I accepted Christ, and Jesus did this for me. And start telling people, that's what you want, the testimony of what God does. They did. They were giving a testimony of people who were already successful in life. And how do you prove? And the, one of the bad things about it, most of the people they bring in as testimony, those people ended up not following God. They got away from it and went out, followed the money in the world. It was more fun. But people like that stuff. Tell us more about these things. So he said, when the angel said, surely I will be with you and shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talks to me. He said, do not depart from here. He said, I pray until I come back to you and bring my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait. He said, till you come back. So he's going to wait till he comes back. But I want you to see this. He said, hold it. I want, now I'm saying, we're talking about somebody who's impoverished. He's hiding, got a little bit of wheat he can do. He's impoverished. And watch what he does. Now we're talking about people on their land, they come take everything they got. And what does he do? He comes out. There was a tradition in Israel that God told Israel to do this. When a stranger came, you were always supposed to welcome a stranger and feed him and not give him something to eat. You were supposed to always do that. He's really following principle. It's always amazing that Israel generally never got away from that. If you follow through in the Old Testament, they always did that. It was one of the things that they always did. So he says this guy, wait, he says, do not depart from me. He said, I pray until I come back and bring my offering, set it before you. And he said, I'll wait. He said, do you come back? He said, so Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah, a flour. And he says, the meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them to them. Now, he goes and gets a goat. We're talking about people who are impoverished. This is no little thing of what he's doing here. It's a little thing. I was just reading a thing that a preacher did about Gideon. He just ridiculed Gideon the whole time, like Gideon was an idiot and stupid and stuff like that. And I thought, this preacher is the dumbest idiot I ever met in my life. If you put him in the same place that Gideon was in, I'll guarantee you he'd have been 100% failure. Why? Because Americans, like, they don't pay attention. You got to pay attention to what it says about what it was like at that time. For him to do this, to take a goat and come out and fly, he's up there trying to get a little bit of wheat so they can have some bread. And what does he do? He takes it and gives it to the guy. This is a phenomenal thing. Do greatly impoverished people do that today? Not in America, but they do in other countries. I've been in places where people offer me stuff and you go to minister and you hate to take it from them. But some people, they go to places and they'll give you really all they got. They'll offer you a meal. They haven't eaten like that in years. And they'll go make a special meal for you. And they haven't had one of them. And you might not think it's much at all. And it's not really, but I'm going to tell you what, it's an offering that is far beyond the average American Christian would ever think about giving. I've had people do things like that, and I sit there just marvels. It makes you marvel at it, just what they do in their giving. They want to do something to bless, and it's phenomenal. So he brings that out, and so he said he prepared the goat and he put it in a basket. He brought it out to him under the terebinth. And the angel said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread. And he said, and lay them on this rock. and pour the broth. And he did it. He did so. It said, then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And the fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. He said, and Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. See, he didn't know. He thought he's offering this to a guy. This is a guy just coming, talking, saying this stuff to me, and all of a sudden he behold it. This is an angel of the Lord. Oh my word, it's been talking to me. Well, it sure changed him with that. But now we understand one of the things that's going to change us, what is changing him, because God's anointing is going to be on him. See, we didn't understand. They're not born. He's not. You can't judge Gideon on the basis of being a Christian. He's not. He's not born again. He's not a child of God. Like we are. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit living in him. And these things coming along, what he sees and happens here. So really, he did get a sign here. So it says, then the Lord said to him, spoke to him, peace be with you and do not fear, you shall not die. See, one of the things they had, you go reading in the Old Testament, people had this perception that if you saw the angel of the Lord, you actually physically saw him, you'd die. Why? I don't know. Because the Bible never shows us an instant where a person died when they saw the angel of the Lord. But that's what they believed. Say, where did it come from? Didn't live that time. And have never seen a really good explanation for it. But they used to always believe that. And so God tells him, you're not going to die. You're okay. You're all right. Because they had that belief. You'd see the angel of the Lord die. I don't know where they got it coming out of Egypt. All they saw that God did and God manifested himself and they didn't die. How they came up with that idea. But it's amazing how religious things stick. People get ideas. Peace be with you. And he said, do not fear. And he said, so Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called the Lord is peace, which really is Jehovah Shalom. He said, to this day, it is still at Ophrah of the Abizarites. So one of the things we have there, because it even says in that writing to people in the New Testament about this strangers, in Hebrews 13:2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for by therefore some have entertained angels unaware. So this is one of the things of here in his standpoint we find in the Old Testament. He was unaware. We find other incidents the same way, that people didn't realize that they were entertaining an angel. Sometimes angels will manifest just as a person. You wouldn't know them. I am sure that people have been around angels and never knew it. Angels were present in manifestation. People didn't know. Because it wouldn't tell us to be careful to make sure that we do that if you're going to know. It's something that we need to be aware of and watch. Now we're gonna end there at this point, because we're gonna come on and look at this of what God tells him to do and what he does. It really answers some questions, because what he's doing, and really this is really the mercy of God concerning Israel. This whole thing, this is God's mercy. God's being merciful to a people. They are heading in the wrong direction. And God steps in spite of all that they're doing. And, you know, it just seems that God would just, he got really, you know, God looks down and said, oh man, if I don't do something about this, there ain't going to be none of them left. Well, you know, God did the thing with Noah, was on the standpoint. God said, if you don't do something, there ain't going to be nobody left. The book of Revelation talks about what goes on. If God don't step in, there ain't going to be nobody left. So God doesn't step in because anybody deserves to be stepping in. God steps in because he won't spare somebody. Again, the mercy of God. And that's, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. We need to realize how many times that God moved for us and did things, not because of our great faith, because of his great mercy.
Amen.
Thank God for his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. We've been saved by it. Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, but I'm going to tell you what, it all came by mercy. Yeah. Every bit of it came by mercy. The whole system set up that God did was through mercy that he showed mankind through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we got in on the blessing.
Thank you, Lord.
That mercy reached out and touched you and I. Glory to God. God. Hallelujah. I, one thing is, I encourage you. And you know, and tell people this, and I didn't want to tell sinners, but saints. Saints run into problems and things, they don't know what's going on. Take them to the Word. Tell them, you need to get in the Word. Say, well, pray for me. You need to get in the Word, or you going to pray night and day for, you ain't going to ever get nothing anyhow. You're going to pray all kind of crazy stuff that ain't got a thing to do with the Bible. You're going to do all kinds of stuff. You know, I hear these people, well, you don't know what to do, just pray. Yeah, well, go ahead. Then just get ready to die, buy your casket, whatever else you need. Pay the funeral home in advance. Save the cost from the relatives. It's like, come on. You go over to the Word first. And when you talk to God, you can talk with some sense. That's what I learned to do, is I can approach God. It isn't how much you know. You might only know one scripture to talk to Him about, but if you got a revelation on it, you can talk to Him. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
You know? And it's knowing what the... It's one thing, is in the Word, if you really study it, one thing, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you God's character. He's incredible. God is phenomenal. I mean... The fact that He would save a nation for His name's sake.
Amen.
The fact that He'd come along and look at a people's bed and He told Israel, the only reason I'm doing good to you is because of what I promised David.
That's right.
What I said I'd do for that guy, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to look after you guys, all you morons and idiots, because of what I said to him.
Yeah.
Now you talk about... I mean, you ain't got no reason I would do anything good for you, but because of that guy... I'm going to do this for you.
Amen.
Well, there's a guy that did something for me. His name was Jesus. And God has blessed me for His name's sake. Hallelujah. We're blessed for His name's sake. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And He's given us the name which is above every name.
Amen.
He gave us that name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. Lord God, your word is so rich and so wonderful. Lord, I'm so glad we have you to count on. You to look to. Hallelujah. Because Lord God, we as a people in this nation, we need your help. Hallelujah. We need you, God, to work in us and bring a change. Bring a change. And Lord God, we realize that that change needs to be among your people. And Lord God, Lord, we want to do your will. That's why we're here looking at the Word. We want to do your will. That's our desire. Hallelujah. And Lord God, I want to thank you. Lord, we're just committing ourselves to you, to your will, your plans, and your purposes, to change whatever we need to change, Lord God, that you can do all your good pleasure. Hallelujah. So you can carry on. Lord, You did many wonderful things through your mercy to Israel. But Lord God, if they would have followed you, you could have done a lot more. And Lord God, we don't want to get a get-by Christianity. We want to live in that over-the-top Christianity, that place where our fellowship is sweet with you, our walking with you, Lord God, where you're so precious in our sight. Hallelujah. Lord, that it just blesses. It blesses all around us. It blesses, Lord God, our coming in and going out to whomever we go to. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Father. Thank you for all that you're going to accomplish and do in us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.